The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
This is Walter Pendleton, and this morning I have the joy of introducing Brother Marvin Stoniker. Marvin is pastor at Katy Baptist Church near Fairmont, West Virginia. If you're ever in the Fairmont area, or if you're from the Fairmont area, I encourage you to look up Katy Baptist Church and gather with the brothers and sisters in Christ who gather there. You will hear Christ preached, I can assure you that. And now, Pastor Stoniker's message.
This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to a very wonderful passage of Scripture. It's found in the Gospel of John. It's in chapter 17, and it's verse number 20. And in that verse of Scripture, we're given some great instruction concerning the will and the purpose of Almighty God, and it's through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as He is praying His great high priestly prayer unto His Father. He's praying this prayer for His people. Now, one of the things that we've got to understand whenever we read in the Word of God is we have to make sure that our doctrine is founded upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed in the Word of God, as opposed to what men have told us that God has said. Make sure that when you hear someone saying something about what the Lord has done or what the Lord has purposed, what the Lord is pleased to do, do as those who were at Berea. The Scripture says that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. What we believe is what God has to say. Almighty God is going to have all men and women stand before Him in the day of judgment, and the Word of God is going to be that which judges them. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. That is, what do we believe? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. If we're going to be profited spiritually, if there's going to be any reproof, if there's going to be any correction, if there's going to be any instruction in righteousness, here's where it's going to be found: in the Word of God. Whenever you come and you hear a man preach, get your Bible. Open it up. Listen to what a man is saying. The Scripture says, try the spirits. That is, try what this man is saying. See if it's consistent with the Word of God. We must never take lightly hearing the gospel. Never take lightly the hearing of the Word of God. For to do so is to question the wisdom of Almighty God, and to treat with disrespect and to count as needless and insignificant God's truth. Let us prize today our Lord's instruction, and let it be a comfort to all of us as our guide. The Scripture says, Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. to keep thee from the evil woman. Now, what evil woman is being spoken of here? Well, the scripture gives us understanding into this evil woman spoken of in Proverbs chapter 6. It's found in Revelation 17, verses 3 to 6. Here's what it says, So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. This is John the Apostle. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord is revealing to him God's truth concerning the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John says, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. This woman that's being spoken of here, this evil woman, is actually set forth as being false religion. And so the Proverbs declares that the commandment, God's word, is a lamp. The law, God's law, is light. And it's reproofs for instruction as being the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So today, I got three things that are simply stated in John chapter 17 and verse 20 concerning our Lord's high priestly prayer, and it's three truths, truths of eternal weight, truths that answer the doubts and questions of the natural man. And these truths deal with this weighty subject: for whom does the Lord pray? Now, the scripture sets forth very clearly that our Lord ever liveth to make intercession, the scripture says, for us. But when he says, for us, for whom is he speaking? Well, scripture reveals that he prays for those that were given him in electing grace. Now, take your Bibles. Turn to John chapter 17. Look in verse 2. Listen to the words of our Lord as he's praying to his Father, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, when he says those that the Father has given him, he's speaking of election. I know that election is not a very popular word in many subjects, circles, I'm sorry, but concerning election, what that's setting forth is that Almighty God has been pleased to choose a people. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look and see what God has to say about election. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According, Paul the Apostle is writing under the inspiration of God's Spirit, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Notice that word. He hath chosen us. Selected us is what the scripture's saying. So we have to realize that whenever our Lord, back in John 17, is speaking of those for whom he prays, listen to what he said to his Father. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou has given him. Our Lord is able. He's able to save. Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save them to the uttermost, that is, evermore, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen to what the Word of God has to say. Those that he's praying for, who are they? They're the ones that the Father has given him. Listen to John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me. There's that truth of selection, choosing, election. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So knowing these things, let's consider these three truths in our Lord's prayer concerning those for whom he prays. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ prays for those that have believed in him. Those that have believed in him. Look at verse 6 of John chapter 17. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. There it is again. He sets forth those that the Father has given him out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Look at verse 7. They have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are thee. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. They have received them. Now, I want to make a distinction here on that word received. Nowhere in the scripture does the Bible ever set forth that God makes an offer to someone and leaves it up to man and his free will to make a decision. You know, I know that many set forth that man has a free will. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1 and verse 13. John chapter 1 verse 13. Listen to this. Speaking of those who've been born again, the scripture says, which were born, that is the second time in regenerating grace. Those which were born, now listen to this, not of blood. That means that just because a mom or a dad that God has called out of darkness and has given light, spiritual light, in regenerating grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, that does not mean that just because your parents are believers, true believers, and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in God's word as being the sovereign Savior of God's elect, just because your parents are believers doesn't mean you're a believer. They were born not of blood. Now look at this. Nor of the will of the flesh. Now, do you know what that means? That means that man does not have a free will. They're born not, nor of the will of the flesh. Nor of the will of man. That means that I may be, as a believing father, I may pray that God have mercy upon my children. I want the Lord to save my kids. I truly desire that the Lord save my kids. But I don't have the ability to be able to convey salvation to my children. I pray God have mercy on them, but I don't have the ability to save them or to move the Spirit of God to save them. But how are they born? The scripture says they're born of God. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the next time you hear someone say that man has a free will, turn back to John chapter 1 and verse 13 and read that again. So scripture declares clearly that our precious Savior in John 17 in verse 20 is setting forth, first of all, he says, I'm praying for those that have received, that is by power, not by an offer, but by power in the Holy Spirit. He's given them a heart to believe. I'll give you a new heart. That's what he said in Ezekiel. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to write my law on your heart. I'll be your God. You're going to be my people. The Lord says they've received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. He's speaking specifically in this passage of scripture right here concerning his apostles, the 11 apostles, the faithful that God kept by grace. And look at verse 9. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Have you ever, you've heard people say, well, the Lord wills that everyone be saved. Well, that's not borne out in Scripture. You know, they said, well, what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world. That means the arrangement. Look at the word. It does not mean every man, every woman without distinction. It means the arrangement. God loved the order of man and purposed that mankind would not perish from this earth. So he chose, the scripture says, out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue, a people that he was going to show mercy to. And when it pleases God, God's going to call out of darkness. That's what we just read in John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you say, well, God so loved the world. We'll look at John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Do you think it's strange that if men would say that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save everyone in the world and died for everyone, he didn't die for everyone. Look at John 10:15. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep of God. You say, well, wouldn't you consider everybody to be sheep? Well, you know, when you consider him saying in John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. But listen to what he said to some Pharisees that questioned him being vague. They said, how long in verse 24, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Look at verse 26 of John 10. He said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, the reason you don't believe, you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. So here's our Lord in John chapter 17, in verse 9, praying for those that believed him, believed on him. I pray for them. The scripture never reveals that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for any but God's elect. He intercedes for his sheep. Secondly, though, back in John 17 and verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, that is, those that he's just mentioned, that believe him, but for them also which shall believe on me. That is to say, those that the Father has given him in electing grace, who have yet to be either born or yet to believe, yet to be called out of spiritual darkness. He said, I'm praying for those that believe me already, but I'm praying also for those that shall believe. Notice the wording of Scripture here. For them also which shall believe. Now, obviously, there's some, according to God's eternal purpose, will, and covenant of grace, that are going to believe. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ prayed this high priestly prayer here in John 17, none of us, either speaker or you that listen, were yet born. But he was ever then praying for his elect. I keep coming back to that, for his people, those that Father had given him, those that you've given me in electing grace. But he was ever then praying for his people. Even then, he knew his own. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God forbid that we think too lowly of him. He is the omniscient God. If there's anything that we can be sure of, God Almighty knows his people. If the very hairs of our heads are numbered, do we not think that he prays for those for whose souls have been given him? The Lord knows his own. They shall come. They shall believe. He said in John 10:16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jew and Gentile, bond free, male, female, all of God's elect in every corner of this world, in every period of time, according to His will, the Spirit of God is going to call them out of darkness, and they're going to come. They're going to come, and they're going to come because they want to come. The Spirit of God has revealed in Psalm chapter 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You notice whose people they are. They're the Lord's people, thy people. And what are they going to do? They're going to come. Well, how are they going to come? They're going to come willing. So the Lord Jesus Christ has set forth in the Holy Scriptures that He's praying for those that believe Him. He's praying for those that shall believe. And then the third point, all that Christ prays for shall believe through the hearing of the gospel. Look at that last part of the 20th verse. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. Listen to this. Through their word. How does God call out His sheep? He calls out His sheep through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the gospel of God's grace. The gospel is not an offer. It's not an offer. It's a declaration of that which God Almighty has eternally purposed. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But what do you have to hear? Does it matter what a man's hearing? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're commanded by the Lord, as He commanded His apostles. In Matthew 28:19, He said, go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, we know, according to the Word of God, that the Lord has a people. But we don't know who they are. I don't know who God's elect are. I know that He's going to save them. That's what He's declared. He's going to save His elect. He's going to save His bride. But again, we don't know who they are. So what do? We preach the gospel of God's sovereign grace. And when I say that, this is what I mean. I mean that the Father, according to Ephesians 1:4, chose a people before the foundation of the world, gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, according to John chapter 10 and verse 15, and laid down His life for the sheep. That's who He died for. That's what God said. And then I know for a fact that the Spirit of God is going to call out of spiritual darkness everyone that the Father chose and the Son redeemed. He's going to, in the day of His power, all that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me. So what do I do now, knowing that I don't know who God's elect are, but I know He has one. I know He's going to call them out under the gospel. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17 says. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So what do I do? Well, all I can do is I can set forth as the Scripture sets forth. Isaiah 55, verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. We exhort men and women to come and to trust Christ. Cast yourself upon the mercy of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I will give you rest. We come by faith as we hear His voice through the preached word. The Lord has commanded us to preach to all men. That's what we're doing this morning. I'm telling you, you look by faith. And I'm telling you, this is faith that you were not born with. This is faith that is given from above. All men, the scripture says, has not faith. But if the Spirit of God is pleased to bless this word to your heart and give you a heart to come by faith, and faith that God has given you, it's a miracle of God's grace. And the scripture declares that God's people, they have no confidence whatsoever in themselves. No confidence in the flesh. Are you looking to your baptism? You looking to your profession of faith? You looking to your free will? The scripture says, you come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ prays for his own. Those that believe, those that shall believe, and who will do the gospel of God's grace.
The message you have just heard was preached by Marvin Stoniker, pastor at Katy Baptist Church near Fairmont, West Virginia. I do pray to God that this message has been a blessing to you. Now, Brother David Wright will give you our contact information for Sovereign Grace Chapel.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.